He is the cup that transformation comes in. We are after a presence that changes everything. We want to make this city and this region famous for the presence of the Lord. We want to see worship that redefines
how people think of the Bible Belt.
If we want to reach this region in our area, you know, in this world, whatever, we as a church have got to come together. And it's not just one church that's going to do it. It's going to take us all.
We have a calling that we will change the atmosphere, that we will come against things.
He wants his kingdom to be overlaid in such a powerful way that crime drops, that sickness goes away, and even economically, this whole area can explode in the favor and the presence of God. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, what am I doing to attract the kingdom of heaven? What am I doing that positions me to have something flow through me that transforms the earth around me?
It's to create a path, a clear path for God to come in today, to break through all of that stuff that's been on you all week, to break through all that depression, to break through all that sickness.
What he did on the cross was he provided everything that we need to transform this world. You know, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Let me tell you what, it's not finished for us.
It's just starting. It's just starting.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. My name is Clint and I'm your host, and I'm joined by
Haley.
Just Haley?
Yeah.
Just plain Haley today?
Just Haley.
No 16 syllable words to describe how great you are at what you do.
How many famous people just have one name?
Oh, that's where we're going now.
Madonna, Prince, Lady Gaga, J-Lo. I'm just Haley.
That's an interesting approach you have there.
Well, you know, I feel like I'm just as cool as they are, if not slightly cooler in some ways.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would tend to agree with that. Getting ready to go on a big trip here.
Oh, yeah.
Where are we going?
We're going to Redding, California, and to Sacramento, California.
What are you most excited about?
I don't know. I'm excited about seeing trees that are bigger than Missouri trees.
That's not too hard.
No, I mean, you could do that just about anywhere. But I'm excited to see wine country.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to go to Bethel.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to, I don't know, just not be in this state. Sorry.
Maybe you should put a more positive spin on that last statement.
I'm excited to visit another part of the country.
Okay.
How's that?
You didn't talk about Jesus Culture Church. Are you excited?
Oh, yeah.
Him?
We're going to go to Jesus Culture Church. Yeah, that would be fun, too.
A lot of people may not know that Jesus Culture planted a church about 8 months ago in Sacramento, California.
Yeah.
They took, of course, Benny Leibscher is the leader of that whole movement, Jesus Culture. And most people know them for the band, you know,
yeah.
the band with lots of lights. That's the comment I hear all the time, is too many lights.
I like lights.
But honestly, they are one of the purest forms of revival on the planet today, as far as like when you look at historical revivals. Like, they are so studied up and in tune with the history of revival. And
really?
Yeah, yeah. Like, Benny Leibscher, like, his favorite book is some Andrew Murray book on prayer.
Huh, I didn't know that. Because I always felt like maybe I was too old to go to Jesus Culture Church.
Well, he is younger than me.
Well, I'm younger than you.
That's okay.
Well, you know, because it's like a young people thing, and somewhere along the way, we stopped being young people.
We did?
I think so.
I don't think so.
I think it's like 18 to like 25.
I still feel 25.
Oh, I still feel 18.
I think that's all that matters.
Oh, okay. Well, then fine. I'm young enough to go to Jesus Culture.
Yeah. And we're continuing to kind of work out stuff for the conference coming up in September. We actually added a new person to the schedule.
The schedule?
Yeah. Gina Milne from Desperation Band and Worship Mob.
Are you British?
No, but that was a really cool way to say that word.
Schedule?
Schedule.
Schedule.
It's way cooler than
schedule.
That is
so... I don't know. I don't think so.
What?
Well, it should be schedule then. Sechedwal.
Look, that's the way they say it over there.
Okay, well, fine.
But kind of a recap on this thing. It's 3 days of encounter, 3 days of the presence of God. If you are interested in changing your world, we suggest that you come to this. You can get day registrations or full registrations. We're going to offer group rates, student rates, super early bird rates, early bird rates. I mean, if you get in early enough, it's going to almost cost you nothing.
Well, yeah, it's pretty affordable, yeah. If you do the super early bird and early bird. Yeah. I mean, it's affordable,
yeah,
for a regular price, but you know,
we're trying to make it as affordable as possible. Of course, yeah. We're bringing in tons of people who have really similar hearts to everyone in this area as far as the worship community. And, you know, we're trying to do as affordable as possible, which means we may have to donate plasma afterwards. I don't know.
I'm never donating plasma. I can't handle big needles.
Yeah, it's not awesome.
No? Yeah, I don't think so. I donated blood once, and then I think I threw up and fainted. So I'm not allowed to donate blood anymore.
Well, we're doing some giveaways, and we've got sponsors coming on board, and we're also, the big giveaway is we're giving away a recording session, a 4-track EP recording, so you get studio and engineer for your time to track your songs, your project.
Yeah.
Of course, if you know, when you sign up, you'll have the option to opt in for that drawing.
You don't have to do that you don't want to.
I can just see, you know, somebody's grandma. She just loves to worship, so she comes to the conference and wins, you know, a recording session. So that would be awesome. It would be awesome, yeah. It would be awesome. So, but anyway, we're planning on doing lots of big stuff. You know, one of the cool things we're going to do that I'm not sure we talked about on the podcast before is we're going to have a meet and greet each night. Oh, well, starting Friday night and
Saturday
night. So if you are a conference registrant, we're going to have a meet and greet after the evening session where you can just hang out with these guys from Desperation Band and Worship Mob and Dustin Smith and his band and Henry Haney and the Hendricksons.
Get to know people,
John Hendrickson, who has drummed for one of Bethel's projects and is a friend of the house there and co-wrote a song with Jen Johnson. I mean, these are people that have done some things that we want to do.
They're really normal, too.
And they're really normal. And they have amazing hearts.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you get in the room with them, you're like, oh, I like these guys.
Yeah.
So
normal.
Lots of cool stuff for people who are registered.
Yes. You got to be registered.
Yeah. And that opens on June 15th. And
wow, like 15 days?
Well,
14 days? I don't know. 2 weeks-ish.
Yeah, 2 weeks-ish. So, just had a Unite Worship gathering this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, in my opinion, one of the most powerful gatherings that we've ever had.
Wow.
I really see the guys and gals that are involved in these worship gatherings growing each time. Like, you know, we do it once a month or so. And they come back from month to month, and I'm just like, man, you have grown so much between the last time I saw you and now. And then new people step in, like Missy Dunson, who is on the podcast today.
Yeah.
She stepped in and did a two-hour session. She had actually 6 churches in her worship team.
That's really cool.
That is really unheard of.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like just get 6 churches together. I mean, they meshed and gelled and flowed and they loved each other and they worshiped. That was probably the highlight of the whole weekend for me because it was like, I don't know, 1 to 3 a.m. or something when she played.
I know.
So everybody had gone home mostly, just a few hanging out. And
I think it wasn't that. Oh, well, I don't know. I just know you sound really giddy on the podcast
because
it's so late.
I listened back to that. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm an idiot. I sound like I'm drunk or something.
You sound like you're drunk or you're just sleepy. I don't know. But it was really good.
Yeah. So anyway, it is what it is, I guess.
Hey.
But we had a great time.
Let's all be real. That's my favorite thing. It's just people being real.
I stay for all 24 hours of these worship events because I'm running sound and ensuring that everybody has a good experience and transitioning between groups. and I am changed every single time.
Praise God. Sorry, I just wanted to throw that in there. Maybe I should stay for all 24 hours too.
Hey, you know what? Maybe you should.
And then I'd be better too. We could have like a totally transformed marriage by just going to the Unite Worship gatherings.
Yeah, I don't doubt it, because the presence of God is so there. It's so thick. And, you know, it just comes out of nowhere sometimes and hits you in a deep place that you didn't know you need help in.
Yeah.
He's just good about that, you know? He's a good father. So we got Missy Dunson today, and she's going to, you know, she talks about a lot of great stuff. She's really somebody that moves in, you know, prayer and prophetic and spontaneous. And, you know, she's just got a whole different world that I just love. I just love her attitude and her. I mean, she just goes after stuff.
Yeah.
You know, she's aggressive. And
she's a go-getter.
Oh, yeah. 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 So.
Good. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Hey, a topic came up that you and I were talking about. I mean, this comes up actually, I don't know, fairly often, the topic of practical is spiritual.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. Why don't you just start us off? Let's just hit a couple high points. You know, there's some good nuggets to think about when we're talking about.
Well, I mean, you can take it really, really far. Like, you know, practically putting on my makeup is a spiritual experience. And I don't mean like that. It might be. It might be so much better after it's on that it is a spiritual experience. No, I'm totally joking. Totally joking. I'm totally comfortable with myself. No, okay, so never mind. We were talking about practical is spiritual, and just that, you know, not to be a dualist in your thinking where, you know, there's secular and then there's sacred, because the reality is that whenever you are a child of the King of Kings and you're a part of God's kingdom, everything about your life should be kingdom. And even though it doesn't feel very kingdomish when I'm doing the laundry, you know, as a mom who's at home with her kids, I really can meet God in between the washer and the dryer, you know,
good.
if I need to. And, you know, not just spending my token 15 to 20 minutes with God in the morning and then kind of detaching and going about my day, but teaching myself to have kind of a constant awareness or just a constant ability to just stop and connect with the Holy Spirit and kind of keep a constant all-day connection with God. And, you know, that's where practical is spiritual. Mm-hmm. Also, practical is spiritual in the realm of, like, excellence.
Yeah.
Excellence in your craft, whether that's musician or singer or whether you're an artist or a gardener or a baker. Pursuing excellence in something, you know, is not spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, sometimes I think, empowers you to be more spiritual,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
Well, yeah, like a practical example would be, you know, I'm a musician, so if I pick up my guitar and I go, you know what, I just trust Holy Spirit to make me really good at this, and that when I play it, you know, the power of God just comes down, and I never pick up my instrument except when I play.
Yeah, that probably is not going to work for you.
Well, the flip side of that is, what if I get really excellent at my instrument? What if I get really excellent at my craft? You know, like when I sing, if I sing with my instrument.
Mm-hmm.
What if I practice that so much that it takes the technical aspect of the performance or of my worship time when I'm playing out of the equation? What if I get so good and so practiced that I no longer even think about my instrument, but I'm more free to focus on the presence of the Lord and what He's doing
yeah.
in the moment?
Yeah.
So it's not more spiritual to go, well, I just believe that He's going to anoint me, as it is to go, you know what, I'm going to practice. Because I tell you what, I'm going to have a better experience most times when someone who comes in who has practiced
mm-hmm.
and excellent, and they know their material, they know their music, they know their song, they're not playing a bad note every two or three measures, you know, messing up chords and hitting wrong notes. I'm going to have a better experience with the person that comes in well-rehearsed, well-practiced, and then allows the freedom for Holy Spirit to move. It's kind of like what's the example we always use? It's kind of like a good vacation.
Yeah, you plan it, and then it's spontaneous.
Yeah, so you plan, organize. You know, you got 7 days. Well, we're going
on our vacation. And then we'll be spontaneous.
And then, you know, we have all the details taken care of. Then we're going to be spontaneous.
Yeah, and it's true. A person who is excellent at their craft, allows them to be free and more flowy, too. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so like if I'm cooking, somebody who really knows how to cook, somebody who is excellent in the kitchen, can more easily throw together a recipe on the fly than someone who has no idea how to do anything.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it is in even, you know, with music and with singing. And I mean, singing's a little harder because it's as a singer myself and not a musician, I've had to make myself really try to believe that, you know what, my voice is my instrument and I should treat it the way someone else treats their instrument.
Yeah.
Which means I should practice it.
Right.
I should warm up. I should treat it kindly, you know, not beat it up. And that's a little harder for vocalists sometimes have a harder time thinking that way.
The same principle applies to songwriting, because you hear like your favorite, you know, groups or whoever that you listen to, and the, you know, Hillsong just came out. United just came out with the new album Empires. And so they've got, you know, 12 or 14 songs on there, and you're like, man, they wrote some great songs. But I tell you what, they didn't just write 14 songs. They probably wrote 100 songs.
Yeah.
And took the 14 best.
Yeah. And that's not to say that you have to be an expert or excellent to do your thing. I mean, because you don't want anybody to feel like, well, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. Because the way that you get good is just to do.
Yep.
And just to do it and to do it over and over and to keep growing, keep moving, keep changing.
Yeah. You know how to get into Carnegie Hall?
I don't know.
Practice.
Sing in the shower.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
We are proud to announce the Next Gen Worship Culture Changers Conference 2015. The conference will be held on September 10th, 11th, and 12th at Faith Assembly in Joplin, Missouri. Special conference guests include Integrity Music Artist Worship Mob. Integrity Music Artist, songwriter, and worship leader, Dustin Smith and band. One Worship Gathering, San Diego, Henry Haney, Mark and Debbie Hendrickson from Dwelling Place Ministries in Kansas City, Missouri, and many others. Also joining us will be regional worship leaders Joshua Bussey, Kendra Doris, Carrie Dennison Jones, Rob and Catherine Harriman, and Josh Cote. God is looking for the next generation of culture changers. For more details, including how to register, go to nextgenworship.com.
Coming up on June 15th, Super Early Bird registration opens for the Next Gen Worship Culture Changers Conference 2015. All of the details, including a full schedule, can be found at nextgenworshipconference.com. On today's podcast, we have a conversation with Missy Dunson. Missy and I talk about some of her history and chat a little about her recent worship set at the most recent Unite Worship Gathering. If you enjoy this podcast, share it on your socials and give us a review on iTunes. That'll really help us out. As always, thanks for listening and enjoy my conversation with worship leader Missy Dunson.
A train that'll take us to glory. Ring, ring, mandolin, ring. We'll sing the gospel story.
Fueling leaders of heaven's invasion.
Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in, rushing in. Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in. Come rushing in.
Okay, Missy Dunson, thanks for sitting down with me.
Hey, no problem.
So we're here at a Unite Worship gathering. It's like, I don't know, between 1 and 2 a.m. And you just did a two-hour set that was awesome.
Thank you.
I mean, I had like a two-hour encounter with God. I was not prepared for that.
Hey, me too.
That sounds really funny, but I mean, you know, we'd been worshiping for like 4 hours already.
Yeah.
I think. And yeah. And then you guys came in and you had... I don't know how many churches you had involved in your worship
team.
Yeah,
it was, I think, like 6 or 7 different churches.
Yeah. So, and then you were like giving them the let's go speech beforehand. Mm-hmm. I heard that. Mm-hmm. I was like, I knew it was going to be good because I heard your heart. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And so, but still, it caught me off guard, the intensity.
Yeah.
And just,
well, I like super didn't want to do it. That's the funny thing about it is I was like, man, geez, it is a lot of work to do this. And I just am not feeling this right now. And he told me that he had something in his heart and he wanted to do it. And it was about different people that don't have maybe position, but have authority in the spirit. And that he wanted them to all come together. And so they're worship leaders from different churches who maybe don't have their own teams, or they're on a team mm-hmm. that the church hasn't participated in a Unite gathering yet.
Yeah.
And, but they have real weight in the spirit, and to all come together and declare and contend for the glory of God.
Yeah. You know, and we talk a lot in our worship community about the power that we as worshipers and musicians have mm-hmm. to bring a transformation. Mm-hmm. And we use the word atmosphere, but really, mm-hmm. I mean, we can, in the spirit, set natural events into motion.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I really felt that tonight when you guys were singing. I was just like, I was just trying to keep it together because I was going to look so strange, like the bearded guy crying, you know? But it was really powerful. But anyway, we can talk more about that. Why don't you just tell us real quick kind of your backstory, you know, where you came from and
sure. I'm from Arkansas originally and moved here with my family when I was a kid. And we actually moved here for a church. We had a lot of different opportunities to move different places. And we moved here specifically because of what God was doing at the church that we were looking at. And so we were part of that church for about 16 years. And just been in a number of different churches. My father was a worship leader. My mom is a prophet.
Oh, sweet.
So, I don't know how your listeners feel about that, but my mom's a prophet, so it's an interesting growing up.
It's my podcast. It's
there,
okay.
There you go. So my mom's a prophet, and my dad has been a worship leader, and so kind of those two interesting things growing up in the home like that, singing and being a part of worship my whole life. And then I'd been on some teams, but I'd never actually led worship until somebody kind of threw me into the pool and said, you know, we want you to lead and did, and something happened. I mean, someone I hadn't seen in maybe 6 months happened to be there that Sunday and came up to me and said, I don't know what happened to you, but mm-hmm. it is marked. Like, it is remarkable.
Right.
And I said, I just feel like I'm the person that I'm supposed to be now. Something happened inside of me. It came out. And so anyway, I've lived here for a long time and I lead worship right now. I help Josh Coat out at Impact Life Church.
Yeah.
And so that's where we're planted right now.
You had a phrase tonight that was during one of the most intense periods of worship. And I think I got it right. I'll mm-hmm. have to go back and listen to the recording. But you said you were singing, there's someone in this generation that's going to make a noise that shakes the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I was just like, trying not to fall over in my chair at that moment. What was happening?
Well, so that's such interesting that's the one phrase you caught. So that's that is an old prophetic song, word, whatever you want to call it, from Jake Hamilton, like back in the day.
Oh, wow.
So I randomly found this CD months and months ago, and I'm listening to the CD, and I'm in my car, and I'm starting losing it over this one phrase. Was sparking something in my heart, and he said, I want you to do this at this Unite gathering. And it was several months ago, so it didn't work out at Neo Show. The timing was wrong. But that one phrase was the thing that the Lord said, and it started growing something in my heart to declare with a group of people that have authority in a way that would actually change something in the natural. And so it's funny that that's the phrase that you caught, because that is the thing that sparked this entire set.
Well, I could feel it.
Yeah.
It just carried a weight.
Yeah.
And you could just feel it plowing through. Yeah. So I really want you to speak to, because we're involved in this Southwest Missouri, Midwest area, mm-hmm. and just so heavily involved in worship here. I would just love for you to speak into that, into the worship movement that's happening. I mean, we're really starting to get recognition from other places in the United mm-hmm. States for what's happening here. Would you just speak into it and just, you know, share your heart about what's happening inside of you for these things?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've seen a lot of things happen in this area for a lot of years, you know, and the people have tried to do this and tried to do that. And we've wanted to have different names on things and tried for real unity. And in all the years I've been here, I've never really quite seen it. I mean, I've seen glimpses of it, but things either faded away or, you know, politics got
agendas,
involved.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it hasn't really worked. And I'm not sure. I don't know if it's just timing or if it's because Victory is here now, the Victory Ministries, because it's like not affiliated with the church.
Right.
That suddenly people who were very possessive or maybe territorial, suddenly that is actually seeming like it's really gone. And then you have Unite, and then you have Next Gen. And these are not like churches doing this. These are people with something burning in their heart. And because of that, I really believe that, like, maybe for the first time in my entire life in this area, I am actually seeing real unity. Mm-hmm. I mean, people who are actually from different churches actually coming together. They're not competing with one another. And they're actually coming together, crying out for something. They want the Spirit of the Lord poured out in all their churches, in the whole region. For real. I mean, like, people said that for a long time, but that's for real. You can tell it's in the heart and the way that people love one another and the worship leaders and you know, give so freely to one another. It's really remarkable. I don't feel like I understand what's going on, but I can tell you something is going on.
Yeah.
And so that is so clear to me. I actually just had a conversation with a young woman who's moving here next week from a house of prayer. And I said, I know that that's hard to leave that because that is so dear to heart. I mean, it's a real, like, you know, structured, this is a real house of prayer, right?
It's
I said, so you're going to come here to Joplin, and that doesn't exist here right now. But I said, I want you to understand that there is something very real happening here with worship. You have all of these people, there's creativity that's coming out and a dissatisfaction. You know, musicians a lot of the time and talented singers would leave the church because they don't fit and there's no room, you know,
right.
And we're not seeing that. Right now, they're coming back into churches that right now they're fighting that thing on the inside of them. They're fighting that thing inside of churches and to actually say, like, you know, let's actually be the expression of the many-sided wisdom of God, the actually of the glory of God, and to really use the glory that each of us has in whatever area the Lord has made us excellent, mm-hmm. and actually bring that out. And so that's really different and really unique, and it makes me really excited. And you can tell by the way that people write songs and the language that people use. And I sometimes pray and I'm like, Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but something is going on. There's movement in a way that there has not been movement,
yeah.
at least in my lifetime. And it's not like it's such a long lifetime, but it's, you know, yeah. I mean, I've been here 23 years, something like that. And yeah. in those years, this is something different is happening here.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what else you kind of I think
you're right. It's like it almost is embryonic
mm-hmm.
right now. It's kind of like, what's my baby going to look like when they're 16? Well, right. just kind of wait and let it grow up a little bit. Right. But it is something that's happening in us and through us, and it's everybody kind of responding to the Lord together. So maybe if I asked you this, maybe that would help. Like what? What do you dream about? Like, what could it be?
Oh, man. So, like, personally?
Anything, yeah.
Personally, so, like, sometimes I'll be in a worship service, and I feel actually there's, like, a level of, like, confusion on my part where I don't understand why worship leaders don't do something about the resistance that's in the room. Like it's actually like weird to me. Like,
yeah.
And sometimes we'll even talk about it. Like somebody from the platform will actually like address it, but we don't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And that is so strange to me. And I feel so passionate about it because maybe it's because people don't know that they can do something about it uh-huh. and that they should do something about it. It's not like magic. It's not like maybe some days we break through and some days we don't break through. I mean, I really like, there's, you know, that old saying that says, you know, if you, you know, keep doing the same thing you've always done, you'll just keep getting the same thing you always got.
Yeah, same results.
You know what I mean? And then that old saying, I mean, people in business know that if what we've been doing has not been working, then like, let's do something different. Even if you're talking about in the middle of a worship service, like if you're not getting where we need to go, let's do something different. Mm-hmm. Let's, whatever that thing is, let's stop, because there is no song list that is worth singing for 45 minutes or however long, you know, that's kind of a little bit long in this area, you know, but like there's getting to the end of the song list and not ever having like encountered God. Like there's something wrong with that.
Right, exactly.
And I feel so passionate about that. I actually was addressing some people in our church the other day and about freaked out. I mean, like literally from the stage, because I was so passionate. I said, do you understand that presence is your inheritance? Like, it's not like magic and like, huh, I wonder if I'm going to get touched by the Lord today. It's not like that.
Yeah.
Like, if you actually understood that he desires that way more than you desire that, and that this is your inheritance, that's the thing we're supposed to like have forever. It's the thing that Jesus prayed for, like that these ones would be with me where I am, that we could encounter God. Not like at a conference, not like at, you know, once a year or three times in your lifetime, but like that you could actually have that and contend for that on a daily and weekly basis.
Thank you.
I want people to understand that. I mean, it burns in me that it's like every time. You could have it like almost every time. There's a real enemy with real resistance, but you got to do something about it. Because if you will, if you'll keep pressing, if you'll be like Jacob who says, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not stop contending. I will not stop pressing. If you'll do that, like he's the guy who said, God's the guy who said, you know, if you keep on knocking, I'll answer. If you keep on seeking, you will find me.
Right.
I mean, that's the deal. That's our God.
Yeah.
And, but I think sometimes we kind of poke around or we beat around the bush and we get to that point and we're like, oh, well, I guess this wasn't my Sunday. And you're just like, oh my God, no. Like, yeah. You know, if you would taste it, you would be so desperate that you would be like a crazy person and be like, exactly. I don't care what's in my way. I will touch God today, you know? Anyway, you can tell I'm a little bit passionate
you know,
about it.
You and I are cut from the same cloth, let me tell you. Here's the cool thing about the worship gatherings that we've been having is that I had another worship leader who is a seasoned worship leader in a large church in the area come up to me, and because they were the first set of our worship gathering, mm-hmm. and they encountered that resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, we've started the first song, I felt this thing just kind of pushing against us. The freedom wasn't there. It's like we'd need to break through. And she said, and you know what? I just decided I'd had enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, it just exploded out of me. And they just pulverized that resistance.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't get to do that at church.
It's true. It's true. Because sometimes it's real messy and a little uncomfortable when you're like knocking down a brick wall. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It can be a little messy. It's not neat and tidy.
Yeah.
But what's on the other side is worth it. Oh, it's
worth
everything. Every time.
What's on the other side? Everything is presence, and it just brings everything that's our inheritance.
And, you know, there has been, I don't know. Sometimes there's like people want to talk about like, well, we don't like live by feelings and we don't. And that's totally true. But I think sometimes us telling people those kinds of things, it diminishes the desire or makes people feel ashamed of the desire, that like that thing inside that says, like, I have to have something. There's got to be more than this, right?
Mm-hmm,
like this, whatever we have is not enough. There has got to be more than this. And that, like, it's right for people to be hungry.
Yeah.
And if you don't get there, it's right to get up the next day and press again.
Yeah.
But it's like to ever quit pressing because you're like, well, I'm just not going to live by my feelings. And it's like, I'm going to tell you, the world is a super messed up place. But the answer for the addict is the presence of God. And the answer for the mom who's like totally burned out is the presence of God. And the answer for the person who, the businessman at work trying to make decisions, is the presence of God.
Right.
And it is the answer for everything. Because we could all go to counseling for like 20 years and not, it wouldn't fix some of the problems inside of us.
Yeah.
But being in the presence of God,
exactly,
it changes everything. I dare people to get into the presence of God and to walk away and be the same person.
Uh-huh.
Impossible. Impossible.
Yeah. I think that's really cool about what's happening with our region is that we're actually kind of putting forth the notion and the impossibility that, you know, not only can one person experience the presence of God, but a city can.
Yes.
And a region can.
Yes.
And what cataclysmic tectonic shifts
mm-hmm.
can happen
mm-hmm.
when people start at a city and regional level responding to the presence of God.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the amazing thing, so like what we were doing in there this evening, you know, there's a few people in the room, and I really hope they were touched by the Lord, but that's not why we were doing what we were doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in the people, not that it's not important to lead people into worship, but we get so wrapped up into the people and what they're doing and how they're encountering God that we forget that there's like a spiritual reality that when we worship, it's actually changing things. We can declare things into the atmosphere, that we can bind things, we can loose things, that we can shame principalities, that we can strip them of their power.
Yep.
And we don't even know. So we're singing nice songs to empty rooms sometimes and people feel discouraged because they feel like, why did I bring all my gear out here and do all this?
Yeah.
When it's like, here's the deal. You were not leading worship for the five people who were in there. You were leading worship for the host of angels and demons who are hanging around watching what's happening.
Yeah.
And that is going to affect the city for weeks and months and maybe years.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that we're awakening as a community to the understanding that we have the power to shift the atmosphere yes. over this entire region.
Yes.
And, you know, some people have never thought of that.
Right.
To them, worship is a performance.
Right.
But they come out here and they get in this atmosphere where there's no agenda except right. his presence. You know, there's we don't right. have to quit for the offering or you know, we're just going.
Right.
You know, and they're finding that freedom, you know, after the first hour and then they start getting to the second hour. It's like, starts to get real, things
yeah.
start moving,
yeah.
they start to have an encounter. Yeah. So I'm just super excited about everything that's happening. And I'm super excited about what's in your life because
yeah.
I had an encounter because of what you did.
That blesses me. Thank you. I mean, yeah. I kept telling Jesus, like, literally, this is your deal. So you said you wanted this to happen. So I'm going to show up. I'm going to do the stuff. And you do whatever you want to do because this is your deal. You said you wanted it. And if you can get a hold of that kind of thing, I think that can happen every Sunday for people, every
yep.
meeting where people say, Lord, what is this thing that's in your heart for these people? And then whatever you can do to obey, do that thing. And be like, Lord, this is your deal, so you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, the church needs Jesus. Like, I mean, it's like, the church needs Jesus. It's like, I want to like take people by their ears and look at him and say, do you understand that he's the head of the church? He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And so if I could just encourage anybody out there to like, just kind of hold your agendas a little bit more loosely and songless and whatever that thing is, because like we need Jesus to have his way. It's the best thing for everybody. It's the best thing for first time visitors who you think yeah. are going to be weirded out. It's the best thing for your pastors. It's the best thing for your people who've been here 20 years. It is, we need Jesus and his leadership.
Yeah.
It's perfect. He will never, never do you wrong, ever.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for sharing, Missy.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, Clint.
You've been listening to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. For more information about Next Gen Worship and to listen to other podcast episodes, visit nextgenworship.com.